It's a real privilege to be here with you today by this beautiful Sabbath day. As we continue to walk in our lives, striving for the Christian growth that we want to see in each other, in us, and as we work out our own salvation, we remember the different spiritual ingredients, or if you prefer, the different spiritual elements that we need to focus on in our prayers. And I'm glad Mr. Leiden brings quite a lot of those. More on that later. What are our spiritual needs? The answer we know is that there are many. Over the years, we have received already many advices in sermons and sermonettes, in Bible studies, in FI online classes, and in many other messages that we have received in letters, in emails, and within the brochures. What are the different spiritual elements that we need to pray for on a daily basis? What are the vital things that we eagerly need as Christians? What are they? Our lives, our very existence, the way we interact with our Heavenly Father and Creator, and the way we interact with our family, our brethren, our neighbor, must reflect the perfect example of Jesus Christ. We know this. That's not a mystery. In other words, and obeying what he said, we strive for perfection. We strive for perfection. We have heard about that in recent sermons. Year after year, we involve ourselves in this process, day after day, week after week, no matter what situations we may find ourselves into. Being a Christian, just as we have heard in a previous message, is not always easy. But thanks to the Holy Spirit, thanks to the power of God, it is possible. We can do it. At the end of his life in 1970, the first president of the Fifth French Republic, Charles de Gaulle, visited Ireland. He was by then 80 years old. And he and his wife walked on a sand beach. And in a movie, I don't know if it's true, if he really said that, but in a movie, during this walk, he says to his wife, Yvonne, "We have done the most difficult part." That's very moving when you hear that. There was a sense of achievement in what he says in those few words. Almost of accomplishment. He knew for certain that what was left to be done was not as difficult compared to what was already achieved. A few months later, by the end of 1970, Charles de Gaulle passed away. In a similar manner, but to a better extent, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Reading this, we see the difference. We see the difference with what Paul wrote earlier in his life to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. He says, "By then, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Drop down to verse 26. "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So when we read this and we compare it to what he wrote to Timothy by the end of his life, we understand that there was a moment in Paul's life when he knew that he had finished the race. As we continue our lives, we still need the tremendous help of God. We need the love of God. We need the wisdom of God. And we need the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, these are three main spiritual daily elements I remember from ABC in Cincinnati in 2008. They are still present in my mind, but there are other spiritual elements we need to pray for. We may begin our prayers, first of all, with asking for forgiveness, because, like David says, because of the sins that we don't know and that we need to discover. We may pray also for an extra measure of Holy Spirit. We pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit and its nine components in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. We beginning with the love, with the joy, with the peace. We may pray, just as we have heard earlier, for the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And the Christian weaponry that we do need just before facing the issues of the day. The sword of God, the helmet of salvation, and so forth, the shield of faith, the footwear of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I always keep that in mind in my French Bible. It says, the footwear of the zeal given by the gospel of peace. Do we have the footwear of zeal? In a famous message to the church, Jesus Christ said, be zealous and repent. You probably know what passage I'm referring to. Well, let us turn there if you would. In Revelation chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Now, this is a famous message. We know to whom he was talking. And if you would please keep your finger here, because we will refer to this passage quite often. He says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. This is Jesus Christ talking, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He goes on to say, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. So what we just read in this passage, very famous passage, the three specific spiritual elements that Jesus Christ recommends the church of the Laodiceans to buy from him, as he asked them to be zealous and to repent. And notice I'm speaking to the present tense. Jesus Christ recommends and he asks them. The title of this second split sermon is The Three Spiritual Elements of Christian Zeal. The Three Spiritual Elements of Christian Zeal. In it, I will endeavor to cover the significance of the three symbols used by Jesus Christ. I will list their impacts on our lives to dramatically change who we are and explain what we need to do in our lives to make sure that, with the help of God, we keep using those three elements that we need to buy from Jesus Christ. Now, before we begin, you might think, well, this is just a remedy for the church of Laodicea. Well, how are we doing? Maybe we are a 20% Laodicean or a 60% Laodicean. And how do we know? Some brothers and sisters can possibly discern the kind of spiritual fruits that we really produce. But how can we know our own heart? What does the Bible say? Jeremiah the prophet, in his book, chapter 17 and verse 9, give a description of the heart of man. And actually, this is God talking. He wrote, "The heart of is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." This is Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 through 10. "Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Only the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in us, can allow us to discern and to realize who we really are." And quite frankly, if someone says, "I am a 0% Laodicean," maybe it's true, but possibly some of us will begin to worry about such a statement. Now, that being said, let's now begin to look at the three elements that Jesus Christ counsels the Church of Laodiceans to buy from him, in order to be zealous and to repent. The first of these three elements is the gold refined in the fire. The gold refined in the fire. Remember, the church says, the Church of Laodicea says, "I am rich. I have need of nothing." And Christ says, "Because you say, 'I am rich,'" notice, first reason, combined with the second reason, "because you don't know that you are poor," and there is a lack of discernment there. More on that later. Now, the gold referred to is refined in the fire. So we can see there is a purification process. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7 says, this is Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Verse 8, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they," the commandments, "than gold," yeah, "than much fine gold." Do we desire the law of God abounding in our lives more than gold, more than any amount of money? If we would have to choose, everything is taken from us, let's suppose, what is the last thing we would keep? After losing almost everything, Job remained faithful and he stayed away from sin. That's what the Bible says. So we recognize that this gold refined in the fire is the symbol of spiritual riches, not physical riches. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, says that the genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. So we see the physical gold perishes, and he said, though it is tested by fire, which means that the physical gold comes purer out of the fire, it is refined in the fiery process. Well, this is a symbol, this is an image that helps us understand what Jesus Christ works on in our lives. And the produce of this refining process in tests, in trials, is the genuineness of our faith, the authenticity of our faith, because we have not seen Jesus Christ, but we already love him. We already love him, first and foremost, obviously, for what he did for us, for what he's doing for us, on a personal basis, but also for what he did and what he will do for all mankind, all of mankind. Again, Jesus Christ gives us this admonition, and we find this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, where he says about riches, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." At the end of the purification process by fire, what is left from wood, from hay, from straw, but ashes? And what is left from gold, but refined gold? The purest gold you can imagine. Perfect. For most of us, we are not there yet. I am not there yet. But at the end of the true Christian purification process in this life, what is left from our being? The purest character you can imagine. Perfect. The perfect character, the perfect ability to say no when the law of God and the Spirit of God tells us to say no and to act accordingly, to walk perfectly straight without turning to the left nor to the right, but to walk according to the perfect law of God. That was the first element, the refined gold, the gold refined in the fire. Now let's have a look at the second element, the white garments. The white garments. This is the second element that we need to buy from Jesus Christ. Notice again, the white garments are given by Jesus Christ. We did not go through the process of making these spiritual garments with our own ability. These specific white garments, they need to be bought from Jesus Christ. In other words, we need his help to be clothed properly. Throughout the Bible, fine linen is used many times for glorious purposes. Rich gentry is using linen for their garments, we see that. Joseph in Egypt was elevated with white garments given by Pharaoh, made of linen. It was used for making the curtains around the tabernacle that entered into the composition of the curtains. It was also within the composition of the veil separating the holy place from the holy of holies. It was used for the clothes of the high priest. The boy Samuel was serving the Lord already attired with a linen ephod. David and the Levites carrying the Ark of the Covenant were wearing garments of white linen. So likewise, in a spiritual sense, the children of God as future kings and priests serving Christ in his kingdom all need to be prepared to receive the white garments already now during this life. In Revelation chapter 19, and verse 7, we have this description of the bride, where it says, "Let us be glad." This is Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7 and 8. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Here it is. That's the symbol. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. This is exactly where we need to be. Clearly, Jesus Christ is expecting us to buy from him this fine linen. They are the righteous deeds of the brethren. Notice these words. It was granted. It was provided to her. Again, we have this idea, and this is a fact. We need to buy this from Christ. In other words, we need his help through prayer, even to perform all these righteous deeds that cannot come really from ourselves. We need that power. We need the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1 and 3 tells us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 and 3. I begin verse 1. We know this passage, we sing it already. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I have become sounding brass, or a tinkling, or a clanging cymbal. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. The love of God, the godly love, is necessary to give a pure intent, a pure purpose to all deeds we do. And as I said in the beginning, if you remember, the love of God is one of the main things that we need to pray for ourselves. We need to buy these white garments from Jesus Christ, the righteous deeds, but with the love of God. If not, we may sound like a clanging cymbal. That's what Paul said. It would be like the garment would not be pure, it would not be clean and bright. Something wrong. We need the love that comes from God, the pure intents, the pure purpose in mind. Again, thanks to the Holy Spirit. Human beings can do that. They just can't. God can do this, and he can do this within us. We need to buy. We need to pray. We need to ask for these things. And finally, the third element is the eye salve. This is the third element that we need to buy from Christ. The eye salve so that we may see. Our eyes need to be permanently anointed to discern who we really are. Again, I read it before, but I will read it again. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart, and this is the heart of man, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Only the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in us, can allow us to discern, to realize who we really are. God's Holy Spirit makes us understand our real spiritual condition and copes with any lack of discernment with ourselves about the person that we really embody 24/7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, we read what Paul says here. He says, but God has revealed them the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's the previous verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, the things that he has prepared for us. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Notice this, very interesting in the perspective of buying from Jesus Christ. All those things have been freely given to us. They have been freely given to us by God. Again, how do we obey to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in us? The obedience to this leadership may guide us properly and finally may transform us the way God wants us to be transformed, to be the people ready for the wedding of the Lamb. What are the tools that are necessary to get the eye salve and to keep using it so that we may see at all time the real person we are? There is no surprise. We have heard them many times. We have even heard them during the first part of this service. Prayer is the main tool. Prayer is the main tool. It will help us to walk and act. We need to buy also the spiritual eye salve, again, from Christ. We need to buy the Holy Spirit, not with money, like Simon Magus tried to do, but with prayer, like Peter counseled him to do. An extra portion of the Holy Spirit can be asked for throughout our prayers. Fasting is another tool that will help us to walk and act with the humility that pleases God. Some fasting are more efficient than others, we know that. But again, God will help us being successful in the process. We just need to do it on a regular basis, or possibly redo it if sometimes we fail. And I could carry on mentioning, you know, the three other main spiritual tools of the Christian lives: the Bible study, the meditation, and the fellowshipping. As a conclusion, we recognize that God refined in the fire, gold refined in the fire, that we may be enriched; white garments, that we may be clothed and not walk naked; and eye salve, that we may see. All of these, we need them. And if we don't have them perfectly, we need to buy them from our Messiah. Brethren, let us keep in mind the final words of Jesus Christ to the Church of the Laodiceans, verse 21, Revelation 21, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. He tells them, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne."